Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
sweet memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive. And as He gives us knowledge, Father, we know that that is knowledge of the truth. And it is not man's way, but your way. And this is what we're searching for, Father. Always your will and your way, so that we can walk upon the pathway of righteousness to make heaven our home. Now be with us, Father, through the study this morning. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit now to come forward so that the words are not mine, but yours. And I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to be in the 19th chapter of Matthew. We're moving on through Matthew. These chapters, a lot of them are quite long. And so we're not moving as fast as we do through a lot of the other places. Chapter 19 is 30 verses long. We'll have to see what the Holy Spirit really has for us here. Now, we do know we're going to be talking about divorce, things of that nature in some of this. So let us get started. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea, beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. But we know that it seems like always the multitude with him. And yet, for the most part of Israel, most are still following the Mosaic law. And even unto this day. Now we know that there is a day and a time coming to where they all will change. Know that everything is growing closer and closer and closer for the Lord Jesus Christ to come for his church. Now, but he healed them there. Verse 3, and the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, naturally. That's the only reason they get around him. It's to tempt him. And saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. That's how close man and wife should be, just as being one flesh. Because, you see, when we get married, we leave everything else except the Lord. And also, when we get married, you see, that marriage covenant is not just between two people. It's between the two, the man and the woman, and God above. Now, six. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. In other words, don't let a man break that up. Or put it aside. God joined them together when they went before him to be married. Now, and you know, when they are married, and by the right ones, they are told all these things before that marriage ever takes place, before that covenant is made. Now, seven. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Well, we know Moses did back in Deuteronomy because of a lot of things that was going on. Now, eight. He said unto them, Jesus says unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. You see, God don't. And God has never gave us a right of divorce. Moses did, but God didn't. Nine. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her which is put away does commit adultery. You see, divorcement does not hurt just the two. It can hurt others. Because either one of the divorced that would remarry while the other one is living causes that new one to be committing adultery. And no adulterer is going to make it into heaven. We're told that. Now, Pastor, can I be forgiven for adultery? Yes. If you get out of it, you can't and continue living in it. Well, yeah, but now we've been married all this time and all, and I'm supposed to take care of her. But see, there is a right way and a wrong way to do everything. You may need to take care of her, but you are not to have sexual relations with her or see her nakedness or see your nakedness. Can you live like that in the same place? That's what it takes. You see, this is why mankind has fell so far away from God. Things like this. Now, 10. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. You see, they're putting all kinds of things to him, just testing him to see if they can get anything at all to destroy him and his ministry. But they ain't as smart as he is, that's for sure. Now, 11, but he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some, Enoches, which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some Enoches, which were made Enoches of men, and there be Enoches which have made themselves Enoches for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. And Enoches is one that goes without being married and has no desire for it. Now, and we still have those, actually, today. Some. Now, they all don't keep with it, either. We have those that are not supposed to marry. They're not supposed to marry to have a wife. And most of us know who they are. But all of them don't live that way and live righteously. And we know that also. Most may. But there are a lot of them that don't. Now, 13. Then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. Now his disciples is not wanting them to bring these children to the Lord Jesus, to bother him with them. But as we all know, he thinks too much of that child to let him get away with that. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for as such is the kingdom of heaven. Because if you remember, we've just been studying and reading where he told us that we have to become as that child if we're going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. Now, 15. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, 20. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus saith unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Sell all you got. Get rid of it all. Give it to the poor, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that thing, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And you see, he was willing to trade those possessions for his life in the kingdom of heaven. Now, 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now that's getting kind of tough, isn't it? Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And you know, they have been talking about this scripture for many, many, many years. And even as the study Bible gives it, I'll read to you what it has to say. The eye of a needle has been interpreted as a camel's hair rope going through a needle, or an actual camel squeezing through a small gate. The eye of a needle next to the main gate at Jerusalem are the absolute impossibility of a literal camel actually going through a tiny needle's eye. This last usage is most likely. And that's exactly what he meant. It is impossible. Camel to go through the eye of a needle. But there was a place there as they went into Jerusalem to go through that was called a needle because it was so tight. And for a camel to go through it, he had to get on his knees and actually crawl through it. So you see, that wouldn't be easy. That would be hard, and very few actually would be taken through that way. That lets us know that being rich doesn't make it easy for us to get into heaven. We're not to seek the things of this world. We're supposed to be seeking for the things of the kingdom of Almighty God and wanting that in our lives. Now, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." You see, all things are possible with God. Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" What shall we have therefore? This is Peter. 28. Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken house, or brother, of sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or wives, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life." You see, they can come times in some of our lives to where it will cost us everything we have in order to follow him. We may lose it all, but we cannot follow him and loving him and being there when he calls upon us for anything and make heaven our home. We have to always be there. Now, verse 30, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." How are you living your life today? What are you putting in front and between you and the Lord Jesus Christ? want you to think about these things. Now, verse 20 here, or chapter 20, that is, 34 verses long. So let's see if we can get started with it. See where the Spirit will take us. Verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, them into his vineyard. Now he hired them for a penny a day. And he went out about the third hour and saw another standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. Now he's went out all different times of the day and sent others in to work. Some is only working maybe an hour or 2 hours. Now, verse 6. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, because no man has hired us. And he saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. He's not promising them anything other than a little work, really. He hasn't made no contract with them, no covenant. 8. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto the steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. They ain't gonna like this. They ain't gonna like that at all. This man that just worked for very short hour, not as much as they got, from working all day. And here in verse 11, and when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. See, they want to complain now. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Did not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. It's mine. I can do what I want with it. I gave you what we agreed to. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? And this is the way a lot of them are today. They murmur and complain. It doesn't matter what God has done for them. But if they see somebody that has something that to them that is a little better, they want that too. They want to complain. Why couldn't I have that? Now, 16. So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. You see, everyone is called, but not many are chosen because they refuse their call. They want things their own way. And they're just not going to straighten up and straighten out. A 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. He's letting them know, because you see, he does know. He knew, he has known that all his life. Now, 19. And shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge or to beat and to crucify him. And the third day he shall raise again. He said, they're going to kill me, but I'm going to raise again. This is what he's telling his disciples. 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she said unto him, Grant that these two, my sons, may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. She's wanting one of her sons on each side of it. 22. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized of the baptism that I am baptized with? And they say unto him, We are able. Well, they're telling you they're able to do what he's getting ready to do, to go through. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. The Father is the one who places you. Now, and he's letting them know that they're not going to be out there scot free. They're going to be going through a lot of things. 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. You're not going to act like they act. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. You see, those that have these callings, there is also a price that goes with them. We are servants, is what our work calls for, being a servant to others, to our brothers and sisters in the Lord, but also even to those that are walking in darkness. We are to be reaching out to them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring them in to the Lord Jesus Christ, so they also can have salvation. Now, he's letting them know all these things because she's wanting them to be able to be treated actually the best. He told them now, here in 26, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, when we accept the call of being a minister, we have also been called to be servants of the people, of our brothers. And we are to serve the Lord Jesus Christ always, continually, and lifting him up and sharing him and the Word of God with all we can reach. Now, 29, and as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. 31, and the multitude rebuked them. Multitude trying to fight them down because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. 32. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? They said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. You see, when you walk in faith, believing in the heart, that what you ask will be, then it will be. And we are told this in several different places. We'll be getting back into it later on, even. as we go through these Gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have finished with chapter 20. We're going to be stopping here and this evening, God willing, we'll be taking up with chapter 21. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for this word. Now, Father, we ask of you to keep us all through this day. Keep us close, Father, as we walk and as we journey through this life. And Father, I not only pray for those, this ministry, but I pray, Father, for your saints wherever they are in the world, that the Holy Spirit will keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. But more than that, Father, we pray that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that one day Israel will be known as a land of Jesus. In this land of ours, Father, that has walked away from Jesus, from you, from your Bible, from the church, and from your people. Father, because we have so much evil sitting in our government and in our churches, and I'm asking, Father, and praying that all of your children will be praying for the evil to be taken out of our government and out of our churches, placed with those that are yours, Father, and that is walking in righteousness, to be seated in their places and to work with us to bring this land to repentance and to put our government back upon the foundation that was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, as we separate for this day, I ask, Father, that all be kept in health, in safety, and that their needs be met this day. And, Father, that we can all be brought back together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and back into your word. Father, we praise you. Praise thy holy name. Thank you for everything that you have done for us and everything you are doing for us now. Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Have a great one. Be careful out there. You'll walk with God and he'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.